To read Psalm 19, verse 14, as a prayer. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can you pray that prayer too this morning? May the words and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable. Turn to Luke chapter 24. You will need your Bibles open this morning. Forgiveness or judgment? That's the message from the cross this morning. It's what we call Holy Week this week. And a whole lot of things back in the day when Jesus was on earth, a whole lot of things have happened. After his entry into Jerusalem that Marilyn spoke about this morning, after that, and during what we call this week, Jesus has eaten the Passover meal with his disciples. Judas has been revealed as the disciple who would betray Jesus, and he leaves the group while they were still seated around the table. And Peter vowed that he would never deny Jesus, and Jesus popped his bubble. He said, actually, you will. And the disciples, you might not know this one, but they have argued about who's the greatest among them. Pretty sad, eh? And so after the meal, Jesus has washed the feet of the disciples to demonstrate how they are to love and serve one another. And then Jesus has gone with his disciples to the Mount of Olives, his favorite place where he prays with great passion, and where the disciples fall asleep rather than pray. And Jesus has then been betrayed by Judas and arrested by the Pharisees and the religious leaders who want to put him to death. He's been taken by force to appear before Annas, the high priest, and the former high priest, and Caiaphas, the current high priest, and finally before the Roman governor, Pilate, who condemns Jesus to death. That's background. That's just giving a setting. And in Luke chapter 23, verse 26, we read these words. As they led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was on his way from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. And a large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. And Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children, for the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" In Luke's story, about the crucifixion of Jesus, there are two themes. There's the theme of forgiveness, but there's also a theme of judgment, and they run together. And he turns to a group of women saying, "Weep for yourselves. Weep for yourselves." Have you ever thought about what you would say to your loved ones in the hour before your death? I sometimes think about that. Maybe you'd be saying you love them. Maybe you'd, well, Anita, we could make up all kinds of possible last words, couldn't we? Maybe you'd be like Dr. James Dobson. He's a well-known founder of Focus on the Family. And he was playing tennis with his son Ryan one day when he had a heart attack. And as they were pulling him into the ambulance, he called out to his son Ryan, Ryan, be there. Be there. What did he mean, be there? Well, he meant on that day when all is wrapped up and finally on this earth, life ends as we know it today. And on that day, as he stood before the Lord, he would be looking around for Ryan to be there. The most important thing that he could challenge Ryan with. Make it your life's priority to meet me again one day in heaven. Among the crowds following Jesus to his death on the cross, there's some women who are weeping. Who are they? We don't know. They might have been a bunch of women who were kind of like professional mourners, wailing and weeping in the typical Middle Eastern way that they do. We do know that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. We know that Mary Magdalene was there, and Mary of Clopas was there. But these other women we don't know. And as they weep and wail over Jesus, it's kind of neat that I think that they're there to mourn Jesus. Maybe Jesus had touched their lives in some kind of way. But Jesus turns to them and says these words, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Stop it. Weep for yourselves and for your children. The time will come you're going to say, blessed are the barren women. Blessed are the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. What an unusual thing Jesus saying. Because it was normal in those times, and Jesus' own words had said that blessed are those women who had many children, and blessed were those who nursed them, and cursed were those who were childless. That was the view of the culture of Jesus' day. But here the opposite's true. What's he talking about? Why is he saying these things? Well, Jesus also quotes an Old Testament prophet's words when he says they, the people he's talking about, they will say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. It's starting to get a little bit weird, isn't it? A bit strange. Why is he saying these things? Well, he's quoting the words of an Old Testament prophet by the name of Hosea. And the words are recorded in Hosea chapter 10, verse 8. They describe a people being in absolute terror as God's judgment falls on them. And Jesus is actually speaking to them about something that's not yet happened, but something that is going to happen in about 30, 35 years' time. He's speaking about a great bloodbath and slaughter that was to come upon Jerusalem in the year AD 70 under the Roman Caesar Titus. And Jesus had already warned the Jews of this event. His words to the women who were following him and weeping were just kind of like a condensed version of a sermon that he'd given maybe a week earlier or during that week, during Holy Week. And Luke records Jesus' words in Luke chapter 21 and verse 5 to 6. Turn there if you have your Bibles. some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with such beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." What is he talking about? In Luke 21, verse 20 to 24, he says, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know its destruction is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment, in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers." And hence Jesus' words that you'll be blessed if you are not a mother. He says there will be great distress on the land and wrath against this people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to the nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It might appear that that's talking about the end of the world, and partly it is. But Jesus, in the sermon given at the beginning of Holy Week, is mentioning something far closer, the fall of Jerusalem. And in the 35, 40 years following the crucifixion, what happened is the Jews, the Romans who ruled them, got frankly sick and tired of the repeated armed rebellions of the Jews against their rule. And so there came a time when they surrounded Jerusalem, which was full of Jews celebrating the Passover. And as the Jews asked to be let in, the Romans said, "Yeah, sure, come, you're welcome, come in." And then they shut the city up under siege. And they got in amongst the Jews who were trapped, and they destroyed the temple. You might have seen the Wailing Wall, pictures of the Wailing Wall. That's the last remaining wall of the temple. It was a magnificent structure. The Romans tore it down, set fire to it, stole the gold and the silver from it, and slaughtered the Jews. Their local historian Josephus recorded that over 1 million Jews were killed. It's a terrible, terrible bloodbath. And nearly 100,000 were taken captive. So what? This is just a history lesson, is it? Well, in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15, we read very similar prophetic words, words of judgment. We read this: "Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and every slave and every free man hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" See, the women following Jesus and weeping and wailing on that road are convinced that Jesus' death is a tragedy for him. But he makes it clear that the real tragedy is to ignore the salvation that he offers, and to ignore the coming judgment, and to be unaware that life as they knew it was not going to continue, that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, this glorious temple was going to be demolished. And Jesus said, didn't he, to the Pharisees who were listening, not one stone will be left on another, meaning the total destruction, something they couldn't possibly imagine was going to come upon them. And a million of them would die a horrible death, and thousands taken into captivity. See, we will all stand before God one day. We who live so far removed from those events in Jerusalem. But we're going to stand before God and give an account of our lives. And I want to ask you, will you stand as one condemned or as one forgiven, like the thief that we're going to, the thief who hung on a cross beside Jesus? We're going to look at that now. Because along with the theme of judgment is the theme of forgiveness. In Jesus' words, as he hung on the cross, that we're very familiar with, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing. Luke 24:35 says, we read this, the people stood watching as Jesus hung there on the cross. And the rulers even sneered at him. And they said, he saved others. Let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, if he's the chosen one. And verse 26 tells us the soldiers mocked Jesus. If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. So the sneering of the soldiers, the sneering of the religious rulers, the Pharisees. He saved others. Why doesn't he save himself? Not realizing the very act of Jesus was the means by which he would save the world. They couldn't deny that Jesus was a savior. He went around healing sicknesses and casting out unclean spirits, but forgiving sins. Like the woman of Samaria who sat by the well and received living water from Jesus. Or the tax collector Zacchaeus, where we read in the Bible that salvation came to his house. The sinful woman whose tears mingled with the perfume as she washed Jesus' feet with her tears. And Jesus tells her her sins are forgiven. He not only did good and healed, but he forgave sins. Father, forgive them is made possible by the cross. And Jesus extended the possibility of forgiveness to those who mocked him. Today you will be with me in paradise is another sentence from Jesus, said to the thief who hung beside him. She's hanging between two criminals, and both of them ask to be saved. Both of them. One says, aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. And he demands that Jesus save him. But he mocks Jesus, we are told. But the other thief, who accused Jesus, has a different attitude. Sorry, the one who didn't accuse Jesus. Luke 23:40, the other criminal rebuked the first. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, if we are punished justly, because we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." What a wonderful message coming from the cross. Two men. Jesus, save us. Only one was saved because of his humility and his request. Jesus, remember me. He admits his sin, this thief. Because I'm asking myself the question, you know, why two thieves, why weren't they both saved? Well, the one admits his sin. He says, we're getting what our deeds deserve. That's the admission of guilt. He acknowledges who Jesus is. He says of Jesus, this man has done nothing wrong. He is innocent. In other words, he's not guilty of any sin. He's lived a perfect life. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And he asked for mercy. Remember me. He's calling on the only one who can save him. And as a result, he is saved. He's promised a home in heaven. Two thieves and two choices and two responses to Jesus. One, a response of bitterness. And the other, of repentance and faith. Judgment, forgiveness. I read an illustration that kind of gelled with me. It's about Len and Lynn. They're Kiwis on holiday in the United States. And they begin in New York and they find it's too cold. So they hire a car and begin a journey to Florida, where it's summer year round. And as they travel, they notice it's actually getting a little bit colder each day. And they begin to see fir trees and some patches of snow on the ground. And Lynn is driving, of course, and Lynn has the map. And Lynn says, "Honey, I think we're going the wrong way." And Lynn says, "No, we're not. I know where I'm going." Finally, they see a sign that says, "Canadian border, 50 kilometers, 50 miles. Len pulls over. "Okay, honey, what do you want me to do?" And Len answers with a big sigh. "I want you to admit you're going the wrong way. I want you to stop and turn around. I want you to listen to me as I guide you in the right way. And I want you to keep going till we arrive at the right destination." That is exactly what we must do to receive the forgiveness and salvation that God offers. Admit that we're going the wrong way. Stop and turn around. And listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Scriptures as they guide in the right way. And keep going until you arrive at the right destination. When the disciples met in the upper room and they celebrated the Feast of Passover, they killed a lamb. It's called the Passover lamb. They remembered their history of time in captivity in Egypt as a nation, way back into Old Testament days, hundreds of years before. They remembered that part of history where For each family, a lamb was killed and its blood painted on the doorposts of their homes. They remembered the judgment that came upon the nation of Egypt, where they were held captive as slaves, and the judgment that came upon the firstborn of every family died. They remembered their history. God is a righteous judge. They killed the lamb. Jesus, in this story, is also called the Lamb of God. He's called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Two lambs that were slain. One, a real little bleating lamb. The other, the Savior of the world. So this story, I was going to say concludes. Actually, it never concludes, does it? It's an ongoing story, an everlasting story. I want us to remember the words of Jesus to the women. Weep for yourselves. Judgment is coming. One day, the Bible says, this earth will pass away in its present form. And there'll be a judgment not of by water, not as in Noah's day, but a judgment of fire. But also mercy and forgiveness and protection offered to those who will come to the Savior, acknowledge, like the thief did, acknowledge who Jesus is. Say, Lord, remember me. Remember me. And hearing the words of Jesus, today you'll be with me in paradise. One last scripture. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the cross. Lord, it's not normal for us to remember a bunch of wailing women. It's more normal for us to remember the salvation that came through the cross. But we are reminded today, too, of the words of Jesus in that time leading up to the cross, when he prophesied there will be a day of judgment. There'll be judgment for the city of Jerusalem, but there'll be judgment also for this world, those who live in it. We thank you that, Lord, on the cross, you showed to us in your words, Father, forgive them. Your words to the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Thank you, Lord, for those of us who humbly accept the salvation, the blood shed as our Passover lamb. We thank you, Lord. We put our trust in you. We thank you for the forgiveness that you offer. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.